Welcome to Hillcrest Baptist Church Podcast. Today's message is called Kindness, and is part 5 of our series, The Nine, Bearing Fruit at Home. We hope you enjoy as Pastor Mike Simmons preaches from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23.
We've come to that one that I think is very critical today. The last time it was critical, patient, but kindness is something that is becoming a vanishing subject in our culture today. People don't know how to really be kind. They know how to be self-centered, self-focused, serving self-agendas. In the Christian life, as servants of Christ, we're to be other-focused. We're to be servants. We're to give ourselves away. And so it's not about me. It's not about my agenda. It's about serving the kingdom of God. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be when we go out into the lost world. We're out there to demonstrate Christ to people, to introduce people to the gospel. And when you make it about you, then it's all about you. So we've got to make it about Christ and others if we are going to be effective in sharing the gospel with others. And so in the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But I want to read on down through 26, and maybe eventually we'll talk on and preach on these next verses. But I want to share just a few thoughts from those. And so if you have your Bibles open or you don't have one, just stand and read along with us, if you would. They'll be on the screen. Just follow along on the screen. Would you stand in honor to read the Word of God? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. He's saying there to us that if we're truly dead to self and alive to Christ and daily filled with the Spirit, then all these virtues of the Spirit will come out of our lives. With your Bibles open, please be seated. And let's join our hearts in prayer, asking God's anointing upon His Word. Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. We thank You for our time to enter into a time to let You speak to us through Your messenger, through Your Word. And I pray our hearts will be open. You will anoint Your Word, anoint Your messenger, and God, anoint our hearts. I pray for those that do not know Christ, that they will be drawn to Him, that they would see the life change that He can bring to them, and that, Father, they'll desire to give themselves to Him. Pray for those of us that know You that will be more like Jesus by the end of this service. Now, Lord, we love You and thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Read a story about a guy who was out traveling, and he was out on the country roads, and he found a little diner, so he stopped by the diner, and when he did, he goes in, and there's this grumpy waitress. Anybody ever been waited on by a grumpy waitress? I mean, this lady was really bad. She was snorting and growling about everything, and all of a sudden she comes up and says, "What do you want?" He says, "Well, I'll have 2 eggs. It was breakfast time. She just turned and walked away. She never said anything else or nothing. So she comes back a little bit later, and she kind of just slaps down a plate of greasy eggs, and she says, "There's your eggs." He said, also, when he requested the eggs, he said, "I'd like some kind words." When she slapped those eggs down, she says, "Anything else?" He said, "Yeah, what about my kind words?" She said, "Don't eat the eggs." Sometimes you can be grumpy and helpful, but it's better to be kind and helpful. The lady knew about the eggs at the place. But here's the thing. In our culture today, we have people that are trying to serve and they're grumpy. We have people that are more about their agenda and they're not very kind at all. People don't know how to be kind. You go somewhere and you see people and they're being rude to other people, very self-centered individuals. It wasn't too long ago, just about 20 so years ago, that George H. Bush had accepted his party's nomination to run for president of the United States. August 18th, 1988, as he was accepting that, what he did, he made a statement and challenged this nation and the people. He said, "We need to become a kinder and gentler nation." If that was true 30 years ago, listen, folks, it's definitely more true today. This culture is becoming a very angry, hostile place to be. And I'm sharing this to us because I want to tell you where the life change is going to happen. It's not going to happen out there. It's going to happen when we get right in here and we take it out there. We are supposed to be cultural changing people, life change people, introducing people to the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only answer for our culture that we face today. It's not denominational parties. It's not protests. It's not some political agenda. It's not a legislation. It will be by the transformation of the heart of Jesus Christ. Because people can only live so much and do so much and be so kind so long. Unless they have a power that is greater than they will never be the kind of person that they ought to be. And that power is in Jesus Christ. Back years ago, there was an article written by USA Today. Listen to how current. This thing was written probably 30 years ago as well. It said, a surly driver cuts into your lane. Anybody ever had that happen to them? Somebody just come. They have no clue. I was driving the other day, and there was a four-lane road, and all of a sudden somebody's way over here, and we are from here to there to their turn, and they cross four lanes of traffic and turn off. I'm thinking, man, that guy doesn't plan. I mean, I calculate my turns. Anybody like that? I calculate them. I'm going to start merging over slowly because I don't know what's going to hit me if I try to do what that guy. If I did what that guy, or I don't know what it was. I was stunned just watching the car. You know, I don't know if it was a girl or a boy. I have no clue. May have been an older man. May have been an older woman. I don't know. But surly driver. Some of you have been that surly driver. Your teenagers bring home a CD with lewd, hostile lyrics. A political candidate in a TV ad morphs into a convicted murderer. In other words, he's been running. All of a sudden, it comes out. Here he is. He's a killer. Star baseball player spits at an umpire. A radio talk show jockey insults the president while he's sitting there in front of him. It is impossible to ignore the growling or growing rudeness, even harshness of American life. We don't respect anything in anybody anymore. We don't care what anybody else thinks. We know what we think, what we believe, and we're going to have our agenda and our way, and whether you like it or not. I'll be rude to you, I'll be crude to you, and be mean to you. I don't care what anybody thinks. And that is what's going on because it is a self-centered life. That began in Genesis chapter 3. Anybody know Genesis chapter 3? That's where the enemy comes up. The serpent comes up and tempts Eve, says, oh, if you do this, you'll become like God. Well, they wanted to become like God, and what they did became very self-centered, self-focused people. And we've been doing that very well ever since then. Sin causes me to focus on myself, me, my way, and nobody else's. Nothing else matters. It's got to be my agenda. And that's where we are in our culture today. Someone has written this some years ago. There is no man whose kindness we may not sometimes want, or by whose malice we may not sometime suffer. In other words, we all want kindness sometime or another. And we are going to suffer at the malice, intents, and actions of other people sometime along the way. How will we respond? Hear me. Nobody makes you do anything. You choose to respond how you respond to what you respond to. When there's an action taken against you, you choose to respond. The thing is, what needs to happen for every child of God, as we read here, we need to live in the Spirit so that when we respond to something, it is the Spirit of God responding through us on their circumstances in life. That's called the Spirit-filled life. That's the crucified life, dying to Christ daily, letting Christ live in you and through you so that you are able to be kind, not you, but He through you. You're able to be patient as we study. You're able to have love. You're able to have joy as we've already seen. And we're going to see as we study this subject of kindness, it's only through Christ that we'll be able to do this. But we're going to see that's why we do it. And that's the reason we are kind. There have been many statements made about kindness. And most people feel it's a good idea, whether they're believers or not. Most people believe kindness is a good idea. Anybody believe kindness is not a good idea? I mean, isn't it nice that somebody be nice to you, to be kind, to be good towards you? Listen to what some of the people in the past said. Aesop said this, no act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. Plato, be kind to everyone you meet. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. also Mother Teresa. Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are endless. Kindness is a language which the deaf hear and the blind can see. Mark Twain. You cannot do kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late. Ralph Waldo Emerson. And then Albert Schweitzer said this, constant kindness can accomplish much. As the sun makes ice melt, kindness could cause misunderstanding, mistrust, and hostility to evaporate. Sadly, that last one, rather than being kind and causing the hostility to evaporate, most of us like vengeance. Most of us like retaliation. Most of us hold grudges. And most of us become bitter and miserable in our own spirit because we fail to forgive. I want to share just a few things on this subject of kindness. I want to give you a definition of kindness. There are many definitions. All of them are pretty general, pretty much the same, biblically and all. Galatians 22, the word kindness here, the root word for this word can also mean to be useful, to be good, to be suitable. Means as a child of God, then I ought to be good, I ought to be useful, and I ought to be suitable. In other words, for the task, I ought to fit the task that I'm called to do. It can also be translated, that root word could, into goodness, tenderness, friendliness, and generosity. Now, most of us know kindness when we see it and when we hear it. Most of us appreciate people being kind. Anybody have anybody be kind to them when you walked into this place today? Anybody? Anybody was greeted at the door by anybody? Were they nice? Did they open the door for you? Did they smile? If not, we need to check list because we're going to hold them accountable after a while. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to be kind to them and we're going to stone them. And so I appreciate everybody that does what they do. But you know, most of us receive some act of kindness. Did you give an act of kindness? Did you display an act of kindness? Have you been kind to somebody today? All right, everybody, we're going to practice right now. Everybody, put a smile on your face. Can anybody not smile? Some of you are afraid to. You're afraid you're going to get another wrinkle. Listen, some of us like me, you've got so many wrinkles, another one's not going to matter. Nobody will notice it. Nobody's counting. All right, now turn at somebody and with that smile and say, it's good to have you today. Thank you for being here. And look to the other side. And now, some of you are sweated during that time and went into tremors. I saw you. I can't talk to people. I can't do that. No, you did good. But that was just a simple way of being kind. It doesn't take a whole lot of time or effort or energy to be kind. It just takes an action. It takes a word. And we are to be kind to one another. And so I want to talk to you about kindness. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says that love is kind. Remember what it says here in chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is the very root to all of this. It gives birth to all of this. Love gives birth to the joy of God. Love gives birth to the patience of God. Love gives birth to the kindness of God in our life. And I will tell you that it's hard to have the love of God in your life, and it's hard for you to love God and not be kind to others. It's an impossibility to do. And so we are to be kind to one another because of love. And so this subject matter of kindness, it is being benevolent. The thorough definition is this. It means goodwill. It means benevolence. That temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully and gratifyingly, and gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants, or alleviating their distresses, benignity of nature. Kindness ever accompanies love. So that's just simple definition of love, being basically very kind towards others, being gentle towards others, being one who is tender towards others, benevolent towards others. In other words, it's saying this to us, folks. Kindness is love wrapped up in shoe leather. Basically what it's saying. You can't be kind unless you move, unless you do something, unless you say something. Now, I want to give you reasons we are to be kind. Three reasons. First of all, because God is kindness towards us. Look over in Titus, if you would. Go to Titus. Just turn right in your scriptures. Go to Titus, book of Titus, just past Timothy. and go to Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 7. Look what it says here. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. What is he saying? Because of God's kindness and his love for us, he says it appeared, something appeared to us. Look what he says. Our Savior appeared to man. God, our Savior, appeared to man. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, having then justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of life eternal, or eternal life. Here's simply what he's saying. You were saved because of the kindness of God. You or I did not deserve God's love. He sent his son out of his love towards you and kindness towards you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world. So he could do what? So he could die on the cross for our sins, pay our sin debt in full. None of us deserved it. Now I want to make that emphatic. Nobody deserved the kindness of God. Why do I make that emphatic? Because you're standing around and sitting around sometimes, you're thinking, they don't deserve my kindness. Oh, so you deserve God's kindness, but they don't deserve your kindness. Kind of an issue, is it not? That's a problem. You've got a major, major theological problem. You have a major biblical problem because we're to be kind because God was kind towards us. We're to do what God has done towards us, is what he's saying. That's the very reason we're to be kind. Secondly, because believers are instructed to be kind. Look in Ephesians. Just go back to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Look what he says there, Ephesians 4, 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, there's a lot in that passage. He says, first of all, you're to be kind to one another. And you're to forgive one another. You know, it's easy to be kind to people that we have forgiven. Do you know that? How many of y'all are really kind to people you haven't forgiven? Somebody's done something against you. Nobody. You don't want to be kind. You want them to choke on something. You want them to die. I mean, you're not going to be kind to them. Your idea of kindness is ripping them apart on social media. And here's what I would tell you. He says we are to be kind to one another, but also forgiving one another. If you're going to be kind, there must be a spirit of forgiveness in your life. Here's what I made a rule, and you need to make a rule as a believer in your life. Make this as a rule. You need to mark down any time anybody offends you, go ahead and forgive them right there at that very moment. You say, well, they didn't ask for forgiveness. So, forgive them. You want to know why? Because if you don't, you're going to let them control your life, going to let them hold you hostage, and you just need to be set free. I mean, if you've got a big problem with them and you're upset about it, go sit down and talk with them. Some of you are starting to learn me around this place, aren't you? You come and talk to me and say something. Well, I say, have you talked to them? Well, you don't need to talk to me. Now, if you've not talked to them, you need to talk to them. But if you've talked to them, maybe we'll need to sit down together and talk about it. But I want to tell you something. Forgive immediately. I've had that to happen abundance of times. And I can tell you God works it out just fine. And if you'll let God handle the person and you think God's big enough to handle, just go ahead and forgive them, trust them over to God. And then when they come to you and they say, I need you to forgive me, if you've forgiven and forgotten, most of the times you're not even going to remember what they did to you, and you're going to have to say, well, what happened? That's the truth, folks. That's the way that God will work in power and might. And most of us don't want to forgive somebody because we think we are going to hold them hostage. I'll tell you who you're holding hostage, yourself. You're the one that's being held hostage because you've got this bitterness welling up in you. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that bitterness is the root of many troubles. So we're to be kind because believers are instructed to. We're to do it. We're to go out and show it. Said this a minute ago. Kindness needs to be wrapped up in shoe leather. When we did our Love Loud, this year we've turned it over to Sunday schools, and we're going to hold you accountable. Elvin's going to be checking back and forth with all the Sunday school classes. But in the past, for you that are new, we have had a big one-day event where about 400 or so people go out of this church, out into this community, and love this community. Love Loud, the community. During those days, we have done many things. We've put on new roofs. Sunday school classes have changed the eaves where they've been rotted. They've done work on the inside. They've changed out plumbing. I've seen unbelievable work that classes have done. And we go out and do that. Hillcrest, through that, has gained a reputation for a church that loves its city. That's what we're known for. Now, here's the thing about it. This city and the lost out there don't want to know our theology. They don't want to know how much scripture you've got memorized. I'll tell you what they want to know. They want to know how much you care. And they will never know how much you care until you go out and do it. We've got to display it. We want to reach a lost world. We better get out there where they are and reach them. We better go out and minister to them. We better go out and talk to them. We better find times and opportunities to show acts of kindness to those that we have no clue who they are and may never cross paths again, but we need to show those acts of kindness. And hopefully God will open it up for an opportunity to share the gospel with them. But I can tell you that the lost world don't want to hear how much you care until you show how much you care. Thirdly, because you reap what you sow. Looking at Galatians, we're going to Galatians, and we'll be in Galatians, a couple of passages here. Galatians chapter 6, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. For he who sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. There is a principle called the law of the harvest all the way through Scripture. You will reap what you sow. You sow hatred, you sow envy, you're going to reap it. Because that's of the flesh. You sow the Spirit, kindness, love, joy, peace, gentleness. You're going to reap the Spirit. All you have to do is ask a guy who gardens. Anybody here a garden, plant gardens, or a farmer? Some of you do gardening. We're all looking because we're coming to your house next year when it's harvest time. No. But you talk to some of these guys that plant seeds, you know what they get? If they plant corn, they get corn. If they plant tomato plants, they get tomatoes. If they plant cucumbers, they can keep them. I don't like them. And so they get cucumbers. But they get what they plant. The law of the harvest is you're going to get exactly what you put into it. You want a friend? Be a friend. You want kind acts? Start sowing kindness. Everybody's not going to be kind to you. But I can tell you this, if you don't sow, you'll never get it, and it's not going to happen to you unless there's somebody over here that's a believer that says, I'm going to be kind to that person. I'm going to be kind. I don't care if they're unkind. I'm just going to be kind to them. But you're going to reap what you sow. That's the law of the harvest. I read this story that reminded me of a story. I came across it this week in studying. A lady back in 2012, it must have been the spring of 2012, by the name of Karen Klein, 68 years old. Anybody remember that school bus monitor that made the viral videos and stuff? Anybody remember this lady? She was being harassed by these three young junior high teenage guys. She was being mocked for being overweight. She was being belittled. They accused her and said to her, your son committed suicide because of you. They were mean. They were crude. They were vicious. And she just sat there, did nothing. Well, one of the guys, this amazes me, the stupidity here, but I'm glad it happened. What amazes me is how people put videos of their crimes on YouTube. Here's my thumbprint. Here's my eye color. Here's my height, my weight. This is what I did. Come and get me. That's what, I mean, the stupidity of some of these people. I'm glad they're dumb. I mean, they were dumb for doing it anyway. But anyway, one of the boys thought, well, I'm going to post this video of us harassing this lady. And we're going to get all kinds of comments. Yeah, they got all kinds of comments, all kinds of vicious comments. And here's what happened. They later go to Karen Klein and say, why did you just sit there? And she said, well, to be honest, I just thought it's the best. I know that's what I'm supposed to do. She said, to be honest with you, I wanted to punch their lights out. Now, she didn't say it like that. But she wanted to just punch them. She said, but I know I'm not supposed to, so I didn't. I just said. You know what happened because this lady didn't retaliate? didn't knock the block off of those kids. She probably could have. You know what happened? Somebody got the idea through social media, and it used to be, now it's GoFundMe and stuff like that. It was Reddit. Anybody remember Reddit? That's just 5 years ago. It seems like it's been back in the Stone Age. Reddit. And they put on there, why don't we give this lady a vacation so it will help her forget what she's just been through? And they said, let's put a goal of $5,000 for her vacation. This is, I don't know what the ultimate goal ended up being, how much it was, but here's what it was, the last report. Over $500,000. You see what some of you are missing because you're not kind and patient? Yeah. I mean, some of you could be rolling into dough right now and going shopping and going out to eat. Take us all out to eat. No, you have to be impatient. But that happened in that lady's case. No telling what we would reap if we were kind and patient individuals. No telling what we've missed out on. Because we've got to have it our way. We've got to have our agenda. There's another great story that I came across. Zig Ziglar tells about it, speaking about great attitudes. He talks about this man who was an Argentinian golfer, Robert De Vincino. I'll call him Robert because I'm butchering his last name. But he talks about that at one time that he had played the Masters and literally had won. He had the fewest strokes. He had the greatest score. But what happened? They found when they checked his scorecard that the guy putting down the score had written down 5 strokes for one hole when it was supposed to be 4 strokes. And once the golfer has signed the card without making any corrections, if there's an error on the card, he's disqualified. He didn't get the green jacket nor the winnings. He was disqualified. He actually won it. And it was an error that they marked him too big of a score rather than too low of a score. Someone came to him, a reporter did, wanting to stir it up. What do you think about the guy keeping score? He said, oh, he did fine. He said, it was my fault. I signed off on it. I don't blame anybody but me. Here's what happened. A few months later, the guy's in another tournament. This is the guy's attitude. This is a kind of attitude of kindness. He won the tournament. They presented him a big check. Don't know how much it was. I tried to find the story of how much it was. And he waited in the locker room, finishing up, and he goes out and almost everybody's gone. The parking lot's almost deserted. And there's this lady that comes up to him who'd been waiting around, and she went up to him and said, sir, can you help me? Can you give me some money? He said, well, why? She said, well, my son is very sick and he's about to die. And I don't have the money to get him into the hospital to pay the hospital. He took his winnings, turned that check over, endorsed the whole check, gave it to her for herself. The next week, one of the PGA officials came up to him. You know how people are, want to make you feel stupid and dumb. They walk in with a smirk. Well, I just want to tell you something. You need to know. He said, you need to know, Robert, that we checked out on that girl. She's not married and she had no children. In other words, you got took. He said, really? She had no children? The guy said, no. No son? No. So there's no sick boy? He said, no. So what do you think about that? The PGA official said. Here's what Robert said. He said, you have just shared with me the best news I've heard all year long. There is no sick boy about to die. You know where most of us are? Most of us aren't going to invest in anybody's life because we think, well, they don't deserve it. They've treated me this way. Or what if I waste my money? Or what if I do this? Here's what you've got to get over. You've got to get over yourself and look to Almighty God, who's able to handle anybody that we do anything for. And He can use whatever we do to them to draw them to Him. This church does a lot of benevolence. We receive what few come on Sunday night, a benevolence offering. We minister to a lot of people. We try to find out the best we can. But I'll tell you what, we share the gospel with everyone. We plant the seed and we minister to the need. People have taken advantage of us? Probably, sure. Don't know, but they do. People do that type of thing. But here's what. We're not in the business of trying to get back at people who take advantage of us. We're in the gospel business of trying to reach people for the kingdom of God. We're not keeping score. We're lifting up the name of Jesus. That's what we're about. Let me go on. Look for opportunities to be kind. Look at Galatians 6:10. Notice what it says. Therefore, as we have, underlined this, opportunity, have opportunity, let us do good, and underline this, to all, especially to those who are of, and underline this, the household of faith. Three things right there that I read. He says that we are to do, look for opportunities to do good. Most of you don't look for any opportunity. You may get a glance at one, but you don't study it because you're too busy. And you're too wrapped up in your agenda to do anything for anybody else. And you know what? It could be that God has laid this guy in need, like the Good Samaritan passed by, that guy who was beaten up, and he took the time to minister. You may be walking by one person after another, just like the Pharisee and the scribe and the other religious leaders do. Because I'm busy. I'm too good for this. I don't have time to get involved. And I definitely don't want to get my hands messy today. I sure am glad my Savior got his hands messy for me. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that he was willing to come into the stench and the filth and the nastiness of this world and the darkness of my sin and bear it to the cross that I might be saved and give me eternal life. Who do we do it for? He says, all, whoever it may be, look for it. Find them out there somewhere. Look for all people. Do these for all people. Look for opportunities. And he says, especially of all places among God's people. It's just like I told you all about Eugene and Lily. You can't even imagine where they are. Some of you have been there. And I was telling Don Burkhead over there earlier today, I said, we've made a commitment, and I told Eugene, we're going to help any way we need to, financially, whatever we need to do, we're going to help them. We'll do whatever we have to do as a church. Why? We're going to show the kindness of God at one of the darkest moments in somebody's life. And we will do that. That's who we're supposed to be. Have you ever thought about what kindness can do in drawing people and what being unkind or hateful can be do about pushing people away? Kindness can open up an opportunity for witnessing. Criticism, negativity, hatefulness pushes people away. Can I share with you, people have been pushed away from this church because there are people in little groups that sometimes talk negative, and somebody that's a peripheral person or a visitor hears that and they say, I don't want any part of that. But then there are people over here, people who are very kind and doing ministry and touching lives. You know what happens? I'm here because of that. People who are hateful and bitter and unforgiving and negative and critical and self-centered, they push people away from Christ. In fact, there's some people they probably pushed all the way to hell. They're the ones that split churches and divide churches and create schism in the body. I can tell you people that are kind don't. People that are kind build the body, encourage the body, strengthen the body, bring people to the body. Read about this widow lady who had a neighbor that didn't believe in God, hated Christians, hated her because she was a Christian. She tried to witness. He wouldn't let her. She tried to do all kinds of stuff. She also had chickens, and he hated chickens. And one day her chickens got out, and one chicken came over to right where that guy was standing. He reached down and grabbed it, wrung its neck, and he wasn't looking, didn't know the widow lady was there, and he just slung it over into her yard. And when he slung it, he turned to look where it went, and it landed right at her feet. She just picked it up, waved at him, went in the house. She fixed that chicken, fried it, put it on a platter. Later that evening, she goes over and knocks on the door. Said, "Sir, here's your supper. I hope you enjoy it." She was doing it as an act of kindness. She never said anything about him killing her chicken, nothing else. She fixed that chicken for him, and that guy took that plate, true story, walks into his table, sits down, and weeps and gives his life to Christ. Now, if that had been your chicken, what would you have done? You'd have gone over there and given him the peace of your mind. I know most of you are sitting out there. There's very few of us like that widow lady. We are going to get, you did what to my chicken, sir? Well, let me get my shotgun. I mean, you know how we are. You know what human nature, but just look at the testimony of this lady and what happened. And sometimes it's with people we'll never see again this side of eternity. I was at Sam's the other day, Sam's Club. And I've talked to you about me getting in lines and stuff. I look at the shortest line. It usually ends up being the longest. This is what I did. I started looking, that line looks long, so I'm going to go get in it. I'm starting to resolve, I'm going to get in the long line. Well, it started moving along pretty quick. Oh, well, this is good. But then there was a lady, an African-American lady in front of me that was in a electric cart, wheelchair. And I'd already noticed this lady doesn't have the ability to do a whole lot physically. She's an elderly lady. And so when she pulled up to the belt to put her stuff on, groceries on and stuff, I said, "Ma'am, can I do that for you?" And she said, "Well, sure, thank you." And I stepped back, thought that was it, because she had some stuff under her legs, and I didn't want to think I was going to get fresh with her or anything like that, so I wasn't going to touch that. I'm very careful. And she dropped a card that she was going to pay with, and she started trying to reach down. I just grabbed it real quick and picked it up. And then I saw her trying to pull up one of those boxes. She got it up on her leg, and I said, "Ma'am, let me help you with those items." And I got those other items off. And she says, "I don't understand why you're being so nice to me." I said, "Well, because God loves you." And she was a believer. And she said, "God bless you." Now, who do you think got blessed more? I can tell you who did. I'll see that lady one day in eternity. But here's something else I want to tell you that we need to start doing because of what's going on in our culture. Sometimes we need to be intentional about doing things like I did the other day to start tearing down the racial barriers. Start serving people of other races. Loving them. Caring about them. Being intentional about it. If we don't, as followers of Christ, who will? Let me finish up. We are to be kind to all. Go to 2 Timothy, and I'll be through. We just read that a minute ago as well, but I want to read it out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 24. "And a servant of the Lord," we are all to be servants of the Lord. I know there's a contextual position here, but I believe we're all supposed to serve the Lord. We have as our mission statement, love and serve God and love and serve others. When we serve God, that means we're willing to do whatever God says, go wherever God says to do it, give whatever God says to give. That's who we're to be. And when we commit our life to God, to love God and serve God, that means we've committed ourselves to love and serve other people in need. And everyone needs to know Christ. He says, verse 24, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel." There's that schism and division, that divided spirit that I was talking about. Folks, somewhere we need to crucify the tongue. Get rid of the negativity. Listen. There is none of us that we could not find fault within. If we scrutinize long enough, we can find fault with anybody here. But is that our agenda? To be quarrelsome with one another? Heavens, no. Our agenda is to encourage the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ, strengthen the body of Christ. Because we are all imperfect saints headed to a glorious heaven eternity where we'll all become perfect one day. But not now. So while we are imperfect, it's not that we accept immorality, it's not that we accept sin, but we correct our brother with love and kindness with the intention to restore a brother. It's not to beat him up and knock him down and to condemn him and ridicule him. That's not what it's about. It's about building up the body. He says, but be gentle to all. Able to teach and patient. Be gentle. Be kind to all. For you never know who you're going to witness to. I love the story I came across this week related to it as a pastor. This woman comes to her pastor. She had been saved not too long ago and she had joined the church. And she came to her pastor and said, Pastor, I want you to know that you're the reason I gave my life to Christ. And pastors always go, well, I wonder what great sermon she heard. Wonder what I said. So she asked, was it because of one of my sermons? Was it something I said in a sermon? He was fishing, you know, trying to get something. She said, no, sir. He said, well, what was it? He said, one day I saw you and there was a lady in the church that was up in your face and she was just letting you have it. And you were so kind and so gentle that I said, I want that in my life. And I gave my life to Christ. Listen to what Proverbs says. Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Perversiveness. A wholesome tongue. Good words, encouraging words, kind words, gentle words bring life. Perverse words, hateful words, angry words, bitter words, tear it down. I can tell you right now that one thing that I can look at, I can tell you right now that there's a lot of households that need kindness. There's parent-child relationships that need kindness. Both children and the adult need to be kind. There's work relationships, school relationships that need kindness. There's neighborhood relationships that need kindness. To display kindness. I love what Booker T. Washington wrote years ago. He was the president of the Tuskegee Institute, the first president of that institute. He dealt with a lot of abuse, a lot of hatred during the time of Jim Crow law in the South. And here's what he wrote. I will not allow any man to make me lower myself to hating him. The only way I can destroy, and listen to this, the only way I can destroy my enemy is to make him my friend. I love what he said. I'll never let anybody, cause me to make the decision to lower myself to hate him. But I will do all I can to remove my enemy by making him my friend. Wonder what would happen if we all did that. You never know what you'll miss out on. If all you do is judge people by what you see and never pull up beside them and get to know them. Read this and I'm through with it. There was a car dealership, a Cadillac dealership in Tennessee years ago, many years ago when Cadillacs first come out and they were getting very popular and everything. And there was this guy dressed like a bum, dirty coveralls. I mean, he was just nasty looking, had his old hunting cap on. Hair was all straggly and looking bad. Well, everybody inside the car dealership, the manager and the salesman were mocking this guy. Finally, the manager said, why don't you told the youngest salesman, newest salesman, go out there and tell that bum to get off our lot. Well, this guy goes out with a different attitude. So he doesn't go out to tell the guy to get off his lot. He goes out and introduces himself to him, finds out about the guy, and they're talking and getting, asking all the questions. He answers all the questions. And all of a sudden, the guy says, "Hey, do y'all take cash or checks?" And the salesman laughed. He said, "Well, either will be fine." And Elvis Presley said, "Give me a Cadillac in each of the colors that you have here." What if that salesman had gone out because of the way the guy was dressed and said, "Get off our lot, you bum." There's some people here today that probably just need, like I've said so many times before, a look, a touch, and a word. Remember, Brother Ray, I'm giving you a look. Stand up, now let me give you a touch. Look at this. Love you, brother.
Love you.
Bless you. That's all it takes, a look, a touch, and a word. Thank you for being here.
Thank you once again for joining us. Check back with us next week to hear another sermon, or join us on Sunday mornings at 9 or 10 a.m. to hear a live message. Have a great day.